Alleluia, 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 alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. Their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them, and it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place in the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread."
The Gospel of the Lord.
Admittedly, this is not how I would have risen from the dead. It's kind of been in my prayer. Being so swept up in the Passion narratives, I really sat and read them every day of Holy Week. And I know that for those of you who attended Palm Sunday and then the Triduum, you heard it on multiple occasions as well. We're sort of thrust into the dynamic activity of, it seems, all of the forces of evil coming down upon our Lord. And he takes it all, he assumes it all, he receives it all. And he conquers it all. Just 1 week ago, in the darkness of that candlelit Mass of Spine Wednesday, we now find ourselves resplendent and joyful, surrounded by those who have joined the church, those who have been baptized, those of us renewed by our love of him. And yet we can find ourselves so soon and so proximate to those narratives, almost wanting to demand vengeance. We find ourselves sometimes like the apostles who demand from our Lord a reckoning. Lord, should we cast fire upon your enemies? The disciples say to the Lord. And so in a similar way, I've just found myself in my prayer saying, this is not how I would have done it. And thanks for all of you. That's definitely not the case. It's something you have to worry about. Something that I wanted to sort of reflect upon this evening, though, is just the nature of the candle that illuminates our sanctuary, the Easter candle and the sign of the Lord in his resurrection, that singular flame that pierced the darkness at Easter Vigil, and that flame that now remains lit in our sanctuary. In fact, if you notice the liturgies of these days of the octave of Easter, they are really wrapped up in that same resonant expression of the Lord's victory, that even the way in which the church prays is trying to bring us back to what we celebrated at Easter Vigil. So fundamental to our faith that the church in her glorious wisdom draws our attention time and again back to it. And so it prays upon this very faithful axiom, lex orandi, lex credendi. That is what the church prays, how the church prays. It reflects and determines what she believes. How we pray affects our belief. To give the Lord our whole heart, mind, and soul, and to do so in the work of the liturgy, proper work understood as worship to the Lord, is to give everything that we have to him. And so in this time of the octave of Easter, we sort of illuminate our own hearts with the sign of his resurrection, because how the Lord comes to us in the resurrection is not in the way that we would want or expect or desire. It is not one who comes in vengeance, one who seeks revenge, one who seeks to exact a price, but it is almost clandestine as he entered into the world in poverty and hiddenness. The Lord, in a similar fashion, now returns in this time of the resurrection, and he vanishes from the midst, and he is unknown to those who see him, and he's almost this ephemeral figure there on the periphery of our lives, enticing and drawing us back to him even more. As the disciples on the road to Emmaus proclaimed, were our hearts not burning within us when he spoke with us on the way? How was our Lord's heart burning for them is what they fail still to recognize. And so it's a heart of our Lord that is consumed with the love of us. But that consuming love from Jesus, friends, in the time of the resurrection is, as always, from the Lord, not simply for our display, but it is for our invitation. The time of the resurrection is a time of transformation and renewal. It is no wonder that it coincides then with springtime in the natural cycle and order of things in which new life breaks forth. And the Lord continually breaking himself and making himself known in his Eucharistic presence manifests for us how, in fact, it is his heart that burns for us. It's his heart that desires us. It's his heart that will be broken over and over and over again for us, until we understand what the invitation is, that this resurrection candle, this candle lit at the vigil, is not for our display or admiration, but it is there as the signpost. It is there to illuminate the path towards him. It is about that invitation. God became man so that man might become God, or more sort of aptly translated here from Athanasius, that we might be deified, we might be transformed, we might be divinized, that the divine life might so live in us that we become like this candle, illuminating the darkest parts of the world in which we go from this Mass. Sharing in the divine nature means not sharing in the Lord's omniscience or omnipotence, but it means sharing in those things that are communicable, his goodness, his holiness, his love, his joy. We are called to be transformed by the resurrection. And so, friends, in the season of Easter, do not let Easter simply be a season in which we subsist, in which our eyes are so darkened from the Lord's presence that is right there with us. We know that he makes himself known here in the breaking of the bread. How are we making him known in the world? When we step aside from our friends and our coworkers, or the stranger in our midst, are they asking themselves that same question, why was my heart burning so? Friends, when we encounter others, do their hearts burn because they feel Christ's presence made known to them? This is the invitation of Easter. And how we pray is how we believe. And so the church lights this candle throughout the season to draw our attention back, not to its display, but to an invitation into transformation to become like our Lord himself.